one in morning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Enyart Live.
Hi, this is Dominic Enyart, Bob's son. As you might have heard, Bob is taking a few days off, so we're going back to the BEL archives. Yesterday, we played audio from an interview we did with Juanita Broderick and how she was raped by Bill Clinton. Today, we play some of an interview we did with her nurse friend, Norma Rogers. We're airing part one of this historic interview, and tomorrow we'll be airing part two. With that being said, let's dive right in.
Stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live, but first, an unusual Denver Bible Church update. Here's the beginning of our worldwide exclusive interview with a woman of historical importance, Nurse Norma Rogers. This is Bob and Yurt with KGov.com, host of Bob and Yurt Live, calling Norma Rogers, the nurse who is a contemporaneous witness of Juanita Broderick's accusation that Bill Clinton raped her in 1978.
Hello.
Hello, Norma?
Yes.
Hi, Norma. This is Denver Bible Church. I'm Pastor Bob Enyart. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Norma, it's an honor to talk with you. Dr. David Dick told me that you would be expecting my call.
Yes.
Norma, I don't know what David told you about our ministry, but if I could just tell you a little bit,
okay.
and then you will better understand why we want to talk to you.
Okay.
Our church, Denver Bible Church, is, I guess, would be called evangelical fundamentalist Christian, and our number one goal is to promote the gospel, and we take a slightly different approach than many churches, in that we focus on the justice that the Bible teaches from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, where God talks about justice and justice on earth as it will be in heaven. And justice teaches people about the God of justice.
Mm-hmm.
And since the Bible talks about a God of justice, when people on earth see no justice, then they doubt that there's a God of justice. And when they do see justice, then they feel in their heart that there must be a God of justice. And actually, the Old and New Testaments tell us this, that that's why God put so much of the Bible in the form of criminal justice. Like, you know, I'm sure you recall, Norma, and the Ten Commandments, do not steal, do not murder, do not commit adultery, don't bear false witness.
Right.
That's all criminal justice.
Yes.
And so our church focuses on that as a tool to evangelize. And when the story broke about a woman that is an acquaintance of yours from the 70s, Juanita Broderick, I was in an airplane reading the Wall Street Journal when I read this story, a devastating story, on February 19th, 1999, that said that Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick, one of his campaign workers. And to quote the journal, it said that was an event that in fact took place. I was cut to the core when I read that. And I never imagined at that time what might come of it. But what we ended up doing, our church sponsored protests in 140 cities, mostly in the U.S., from Martha's Vineyard to San Diego and as far west as New Zealand, in Auckland, New Zealand. When Bill Clinton would be in town, there would be protesters calling for the truth to come out about Juanita Broderick's accusation. And so we would like, for the purpose of history even, and for making a record of what really happened, even if very few people care, we care. And so that's why, Norma, we would love to talk to you about your recollections of what happened back then.
Uh-huh. Well, and as I told Dr. Dick, you know, I wasn't in the room with her, but I was with her immediately after it happened.
This is Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church inviting you to stick with us as we get to the rest of the interview, and also visit us this Sunday at church or on the web at denverbiblechurch.com. That's denverbiblechurch.com. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, and in tonight's show, we are going right to an interview we have recorded with a nurse, Norma Rogers, who found Juanita Broderick. Juanita Broderick was a Clinton campaign worker. Nurse Norma Rogers found Juanita Broderick sobbing and wounded on the bed in her hotel room, where Juanita alleged that the Arkansas Attorney General Bill Clinton had just forcibly raped her. On the alleged rape by Bill Clinton, the Wall Street Journal wrote that, quote, "To hear the corroborating witnesses was to understand that this was an event that, in fact, took place." In fact. Now the public can directly hear testimony which led the journal editor to talk about the fact rather than the allegation of the crime of rape. In this interview, airing for the first time anywhere in the world and here in Denver on KLTT Radio and online at kgov.com, Norma Rogers, a former employee of Juanita Broderick, identifies firsthand and secondhand information which she recalls of the event. Let's join the interview as it's just begun.
You know, I wasn't in the room with her, but I was with her immediately after it happened. Mm-hmm. And at the time, we had no idea that he would be president. So,
right.
I think that the idea that that story was made up between the two of us, and, you know, I've heard all different kinds of takes on our account.
Right.
You know, it was just totally. I just told what I recall about that that whole episode.
Well, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
And Norma, you were Norma Rogers, right?
Yes.
And now you're married, Norma Kelsey?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to ask you. What I would like to do is have you share your understanding, your recollection of what happened. And then when you do that, I'd like to share with you my understanding point by point, and then you might be able to correct some misinformation I have or expand on something.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Would it be acceptable to you if we record this?
Yes.
Okay. That's great, and I truly appreciate that. Okay. So, Norma, please, if you can tell us the story of how you ended up in Little Rock, Arkansas on that day, April 25th, 1978, how did you end up there? What do you recollect? Maybe I'll ask you a few questions, and then I'll go through my list.
Well, Juanita and I were going to a nursing home meeting, and she was also scheduled or supposed to call Bill Clinton's campaign office when we got down there, because she was interested in helping to work in his campaign. She was a nursing home owner and felt like that Bill Clinton was interested in the issues of the nursing home, and so she was going to help in his campaign regard.
Right.
So, I wasn't even involved in it, really, because I was going on to the regular meeting, and, excuse me, so I did. I prepared to go on to the meeting, and Juanita, you know, on her own was getting ready to try to contact him. And let me just try to recall exactly how this happened.
And I imagine to her that was somewhat more exciting than a nursing convention.
Absolutely. I mean, she was interested in. I mean, he was a charismatic young man.
Sure.
He was somebody that you know, we felt like was definitely going someplace. He was Attorney General of Arkansas at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we just thought that it was going to be an exciting thing to be involved with working on his campaign. So So I went on to the meeting, and somehow in the course of that day, Juanita and I contacted each other, and when I talked to her on the phone, she was very upset, and she said, come up to the room right away, and I could tell that she was very upset and crying. And so when I left the meeting and went up there to the room, she... Her face was all swollen and her lip was red.
Could you please repeat that one more time? Just back up one step before you went to the room. How did you get that information from her?
Well, I contacted her by phone. I called her just to see, and you know, I can't even recall exactly why I called. I think just to see if she was back from her meeting with the campaign people. I was just interested in finding out
right.
what had gone on.
So you were on the floor of the convention or in a lobby? Or
yes, I believe that's where I was. I was just at that meeting, and see, it's been so long ago. I just remember being on the phone with her.
Right, okay.
Calling up to the room, and she was there and was very upset, and she said, come to the room. She said, we have to go back to Van Buren. And oh. At the time, I didn't really know what was wrong, but when I got up there, she just told me what had happened. She said that, I think what it was, he came to her room or had her, she contacted him, and somehow they got in touch with each other. And he said, because of who I am, it would be difficult for us to meet there in the coffee shop.
Right.
And why don't you just come up to my room? I'll have someone get us a room there where we can meet and discuss all of this. And so she believed him. She had no reason to think that there would be anything else other than just a meeting involved.
So this was not a room that you and Juanita had. It wasn't your room?
No, it was it was another room.
Oh, okay. And that's a clarification.
I'm because it was there in that same place, and I'm thinking that she, or maybe he did come to our, room.
Okay, it's a little fuzzy.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
It's, even though it's only been a couple of years since I went through all this with the newspaper report, because
sure,
it's
many years ago. Obviously, a lot of the details will be fuzzy.
Right,
but
I know that when they were in the room together, mm-hmm. At first there was just small talk, and she was a little surprised that there wasn't anyone with him, that mm-hmm. he was by himself. And she said they went and stood by a window. He was showing her some locations outside the window there in Little Rock, and then all of a sudden he just kind of grabbed her and started kissing her. And from that point on, just overtook her, basically, and pushed her to the bed. And, from that point on, it was just basically what she said, just a rape.
Mm. What a terrible
And he
tragedy.
Bit her in the mouth. He bit her lip to try to keep her from struggling with him.
Oh, my.
And that was the first thing I noticed. Her lip was all swollen.
Let me interrupt this interview with Nurse Norma Rogers as we go to this live commercial break on Bob Inert Live, a Denver, Colorado nightly talk show.
Hey, have you seen Real Science Radio's video, Evidence Against the Big Bang? It's available on DVD, Blu-ray, or download. I think you will love it. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. Over the last 25 years, Real Science Radio's science predictions have had an uncanny way of coming true. Now with this video, Evidence Against the Big Bang, and Real Science Radio's popular online list of Evidence Against the Big Bang, we invite you to join the 21st century's surprising revolution in cosmology. Our goal is for millions more to be able to answer correctly and with confidence the number one most important question, where do we come from? This video will help us toward that goal as you watch this and enjoy it and loan it to others. When people wonder what evidence exists for the Big Bang, many ask Google, of course. And not surprisingly, when folks search for Evidence Against the Big Bang, Google sends many of them on over to Real Science Radio and our online list of Evidence Against the Big Bang. Yet this is surprising. When NASA urges you to trust the theory because of its predictions, folks who Google Big Bang predictions also find Real Science Radio's article ranked number one. This video can help prepare you to join the revolution in cosmology. The nine pieces of evidence that we present are bringing people out of the failed science of the 1900s and into the 21st century, demanding truth regarding both the origin of the universe and ultimately the origin of ourselves. This video is available at our website, rsr.org. Just click on the store and browse our science department, or by calling us at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-8-ENYART or 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278.
We're back. This is Bob Enyart, and we are going to rejoin an interview we've pre-recorded with Nurse Norma Rogers, who found Juanita Broderick sobbing in her hotel room in Little Rock, Arkansas. At that time, Juanita Broderick says that Bill Clinton had just raped her. That's the story she gave to her friend, her employee, Norma Rogers. And now let's continue with the pre-recorded interview.
And that was the first thing I noticed. Her lip was all swollen. Her lip was very puffed out and swollen, and she was putting ice on it. See, every time I talk about this, it still makes me upset to think about.
Well, of course. Any man would treat any woman like that. But in these circumstances, someone who's a governing official who you would normally trust implicitly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hate to say what happened inside the room because basically I'm just going off of what I can recall that she told me.
Right.
And my facts aren't very good. And I even listened to her interview on TV and everything, and yet I still don't know. I can't still recall exactly.
Right.
I mean,
well,
I
how
just
about
know
just
that when I saw her after this that she was very upset, and it was not anything that she had consented to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it had been some planned escapade, she
right.
would have told me. I mean, we were close enough friends that she would have said something to me that if this was something that she allowed to happen, but she definitely did not.
So you think that if it was a tryst that she was in on.
Oh, definitely. She would have told me.
She would have. You guys were close enough at the time.
Yes, and it would have been because, I mean, in all honesty, we had talked about the fact that he was a handsome man. You know how you'll talk about someone of the opposite sex, and especially at our age back then because we
right.
were very young women, and he was a handsome, very, very charismatic
right.
man, and if there had been any kind of plan to... You know, I think that, well, it was just one of those things that we talked about, kind of like you would a movie star, you know?
Right, sure.
But you never think about anything happening like that.
Right.
So.
Did Juanita use the word rape to you?
Yes, she did. And she was so upset with herself for having allowed that to happen. She was so afraid that something like this, that it was going to come out.
Hmm.
That this had happened and would ruin her business because she said, you know, that people would never believe me. They would think if I were in if I allowed a strange man in my room or went to his room that I knew this was going to happen.
Right, of
and
course.
And she was afraid that her business would suffer.
Okay.
So that
right.
is why she made me promise not to tell anyone.
Oh, okay. So what happened next?
Well, we drove back to Van Buren, and
did you leave
we left
pretty
Little
quickly?
Rock at that time, and I drove, and she was very upset all the way home, and I do remember we stopped once and had to get ice again to put on her mouth because she was so afraid of what her husband would think if he saw her face like that, her mm-hmm. mouth like that. And she was just going to say that she ran into the door in the night or something. She just couldn't stand to think about telling her husband something like that had happened.
Wow. Do you recall if you left immediately, abruptly, or did you guys wait till the end of the conference?
No, we didn't. We didn't. I never went back to the meeting or anything. We left then.
Okay.
She was ready. She wanted to leave then. She was not in any shape to stay.
Okay, so you drove back. You stopped for ice. How long of a drive?
It's about a two-hour drive, a little over 2 hours.
Okay. And so you stopped once for ice. Did you talk a lot on the way?
Yes, we talked. She was just beating herself up over the fact that she could have been so stupid.
Mm.
She felt like she should have known better. But mm-hmm. again, you would never have expected someone in that position. You would have thought it was unusual to go to someone else's room alone if it were just a regular person. But, you thought someone up in the government, back at the, mm-hmm. in those days, you respected politicians enough that mm-hmm. you felt like they were honorable.
Right. Okay, so you drove back. You talked a lot. It was much of Juanita blaming herself.
Yes.
And any other details that you could recall?
Oh, I would have to think about it. I can't really okay. recall anything else.
Right.
I mean, maybe if you asked me something, it would
okay.
bring back a memory. But
yeah, we'll get to that part in a moment. Then when you got back the next couple of few days, anything that you recall?
Yes, he tried to contact her, and she would not take any calls or anything.
How did you find that out?
She told me. See, I worked for her at the nursing home.
Okay.
And she told me that he had tried to reach her, but that she did not want to speak to him. And then we were at a meeting in Little Rock again. Now, this had been a year or so later, or maybe even this had been several years later, because it was right before he announced, about a year before he announced he was going to run for president.
Right.
And we were sitting in a meeting, and she was called out of that meeting. And when she came back to the meeting, she said, "You won't believe what just happened." And I said, "What?" And she said, "When they called me out of the meeting, they took her down this hallway at a hotel in Little Rock, and there he was waiting for her, and he apologized to her and told her he hoped she would forgive him. Mm-hmm. And if there was anything he could do to, make it up to her for what had happened."
Now, do you remember what type of meeting that was?
It was just on new rules and regulations concerning nursing homes. I mean, that was so, we were at meetings so frequently that it's hard, but I do remember that particular one. There were new, it was something to do with pharmaceuticals, and we were just there getting updates on new rules and regulations for that. And it was about a year before he ran for president, so it would have been in 1991.
Okay.
Or before, when he announced he was going to run, so
1990.
Because I know when it came out that he was running, she said, "Now I know why he apologized to me after
right.
all that time."
Right, right, right. Anything you'd like to add to the
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, let's go to the next step now, Norma, where I'd like to run down for you a list of bullets of my observations. And so a lot of it will just repeat what you've covered, but you could maybe correct something wrong or expand on something.
Okay.
All right. The accusation is that Juanita Broderick, who owned a nursing home, accused Bill Clinton of forcibly raping her on April 25th, 1978. And I have in her hotel room at the Camelot Inn in Little Rock, Arkansas.
And, I think that's right, because now that I remember that, now that you say that, because she said when he left, he stood at the door for a minute, and he looked over at her, and he said, "Better get some ice on that."
Right. So he left before she did.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And if it was, I guess it could go either way, but that seems more natural.
Yeah. I think that's
he
right.
He left her there in the room, and
uh-huh.
you called her in the room.
Yes.
Did you call her in the room?
Yes, I'm sure I was the one that called her.
Do you think you asked for her by name or by room number?
I'm not really for sure.
I guess if we could remember that, we would know for sure if you knew the room number. Because
you know, I think I called the room. Now that we're talking, I think I called the room just to check to see if she was even back yet.
Right.
You know, because I was wanting to find out what had happened, what about their meeting or whatever, because I knew she was excited about, you know, working in that capacity.
So you have a bit more of a recollection that you didn't call the front desk and ask for her by name. You just called her up at the room.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that was at the Camelot Inn in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
And that inn has since been demolished, but it was there. Records show that the Camelot Inn did exist.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Juanita was then 35 years old, and Clinton was the gubernatorial candidate. And she had recently met him, I think, in April 1978. He made a campaign stop at her nursing home.
Uh-huh.
That she had owned at that time for 5 years. Do you remember the name of the nursing home?
Yes.
That was the
Brownwood Manor.
That's right. And Juanita says, were you at that meeting when he came?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
I was working for her there also. I was her director of nursing. I was 25 years old, so, and I'm now 49, so that has been a lot of years ago.
Yeah. Okay. You were the director of nursing, and when he came, was that an event for the nursing home?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Anything you remember about that meeting?
Oh, not really. Just like I said, the little old ladies just all loved him because they thought he was such a fine, handsome young man. You know, it was just one of those deals. It was, and again, because he was kind of a celebrity in a small state.
Right, sure.
It was a big happening for us.
Yeah, of course, it would be anywhere, really,
uh-huh.
if somebody running for governor came. So he did see some of the, the patients in the nursing home?
Residents,
The residents. And he met with, obviously, the owner, and you met him?
Yes.
Okay.
Just very briefly.
Very briefly. Some other staff gathered around, do you recall? Okay. And do you recall him talking to Juanita?
Oh, yes.
Anything about that do you recall?
Well, no, nothing. Just that he was obviously very interested in the nursing home industry, or that's the way it appeared. You know, he was.
Yeah.
He asked her several questions and was just seemed to be very interested in what she was doing.
Right. In hindsight, did she ever express to you that she felt that he was really feigning that interest just to talk to her?
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, we just thought that he was, just a really good guy. That was the impression we all had.
Hi, this is Dominic Enyer again. That was part one of our interview with Norma Rogers. Tomorrow we'll be airing the second part of this interview. Thank you and God bless.
And don't you stand on fences. Now whatever you do, with all of your might, do right. Do right.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.